Good morning. It's so good to see everyone. Happy Father's Day to the fathers, father figures out there. And also want to say happy Juneteenth as well. I know we observe it federally tomorrow, but today is the official day, so happy Juneteenth as well. My name is Brandon Pendleton. For those of you who are new to New Hope today and haven't tuned in, we started a series called Dare You to Move. And that series is based off a song by a group by the name of Switchfoot. And we're going to take that song and just take different excerpts from different lyrics to that. And for the next, we're already into week two, but for the total of 8 weeks, we're going to go through and just learn some things and just grow in our faith and what God will do with us in these, within this segment of the summer. Our senior pastor, Rusty, and I, we opened up last week talking about this whole concept of welcome to the planet and this whole aspect of that we live and we pick up baggage and we have things and we're human and we all experience a number of things. And the life can be hard. And in that, within life, there are some lessons that can be learned and God can still be working in all of us in the midst of those things. One thing that we've committed throughout this series is to share with you all just what God's been showing us in our personal lives over the past two plus years during the pandemic of where we could grow and where God's been trying to grow us individually and also just collectively. And so just want to say thank you to Stacy, who leads our creative, our director of creative arts and worship here, and just went the whole aspect of just when she presented the series, it really was something that really did challenge and push me just to be able to be an open vessel. So during last week's message, Rusty ended off with two main points that I think are very relevant for us to remember, and it's that whole perspective of God is truly interested in our development than our comfort. And I'll repeat that one, that God is truly interested in our development than our comfort. Another thing that he said is that there are no shortcuts to gaining spiritual maturity. So with that, going into this week's conversation, we're talking about this whole aspect of redemption, to redeem, and what does that really mean? And so in looking for different definitions online, the one where I landed specifically for today was this whole definition of redeeming just means to repair and to restore. That's it, just to repair and to restore. And why is it important? Well, a couple of things. If you're in the atrium, you would see like some banners in the atrium. If you go to New Hope's website, you'll see this section called the Heart Attitudes about when you go to the About Us section. And one of the things about heart attitudes is that it talks about this whole aspect of do reconcile, and that the heart attitudes is a reflection of what we believe at New Hope is what should be evident in every follower of Jesus, characteristics that should be evident in every follower of Jesus. And do reconcile is one of them. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, we find that Jesus is doing what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And he's teaching and he's giving perspective on just the characteristics of people in the kingdom of God. And based on if you thirst after righteousness or if you, or those who hunger or those who lack. And Jesus is bringing understanding and clarity to the value that they have in the kingdom of God. But here's something that's interesting that he said in starting at verse 13. He said, for those who are followers of Jesus, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. That's the important piece in understanding of characteristics of God is that, for being followers of Jesus, is that it's not about us. Ultimately, it's about us being a reflection of our Heavenly Father, that we are vessels, that we are conduits of people being able to see and experience Him and to know that the life that we live as followers of Him is different. It is counterculture. It is something that is unique, that sparks a curiosity, and that points always back to Him. That's why you have to be very careful when we sit here and we want to say, hey, I'm a Christian. What does that mean? What does that really mean to say I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Jesus? And again, none of us are perfect. It's not about looking at perfection, but it is about living an authentic life. It's about being straightforward and honest with where we need to grow, where God is growing us specifically. And there's a lot that can be done specifically as we talk about redemption and repairing. When you think about repairing something, you think something is broken. And really what it boils down to as it talks of what we're talking about today is relates to relationships, how to repair relationships. And as followers of Jesus, you know, we must face our failures towards others. That's one of the main things we have to understand is that we will at some point in time offend somebody. And I have a good friend of mine, she's a psychologist, Dr. Patrice Berry, and I shared it was on my heart to share this message with her just to get perspective, because I wanted to know just from where she lives and just in the world that she lives and works and from the different clients that she serviced, you know, just give me a perspective on if this is biblically aligned and psychologically aligned. And she made an interesting point that I wanted to share with you all today that I thought that was very relevant. She said, often we have good intentions as people, but our actions can have a negative impact on others. She says, what we need to understand is that impact is what matters. And repairing relationship requires humility and empathy, being able to see the other person's perspective. She says, once you've reconciled the relationship, you may be able to explain the intent. But before you even get to that part of the conversation, you must understand the impact of what we do. And so there's nothing more relevant for me than with it being Father's Day. You know, I talked to my son, and I had asked him, and I said, you know, it was really on my heart to share our relationship, in particular what's happened over these past couple of years. Do you mind if I share our story and just where, you know, I've had to work on some things in our relationship? And my little 8-year-old son said, no, no problem, Dad, go ahead. So I appreciate Joe. That's my man. So I mentioned last week that early on in the pandemic, my son was diagnosed with Asperger's and ADHD. And that truly was hard to hear, and it was really difficult. It's hard because now I had to switch and better understand what is necessary to support him and what he needs. And like any good parent, you want to support your child and all that. It's no problem. But immediately when he received that diagnosis, in my heart, I was really convicted, because I began to think about all the things that I did or said towards him that I didn't understand was directly related to this behavior and who he was. And so there may have been things where I may have said to him that just were, or been very impatient with him, that have left emotional scars or wounds on his heart just because of the fact of my ignorance and knowing where he was. So while the diagnosis was a blessing, it was very much a conviction for me. And so I had to go to him, and I said to him, would you please forgive me? I said, Dad, I'm so sorry for how I came at you, because the reality of the matter is there was an impact to how I had engaged him that was completely etched on his mind and his heart, that no matter what he did, my dad was either displeased with me or whatever the case may be and how he interpreted it. And what I love about my son, he does not hold his tongue. When you give him an opportunity to tell you how he feels, he's going to let you know. And I appreciate that authenticity. But it was humbling. But I want that relationship to grow. That's my son. I want to see him be his best. I want him to grow up in life and just be ushered into life and feel like he can win it. He can do anything that God's purpose in his heart. I'm home. I'm dad. Home is supposed to be a refuge for him, a place for him to grow and feel that he can be his most authentic self and that it's a safe place for him to grow. So now with this diagnosis in place, and that conviction that the Lord had revealed to me that, hey, you know, certain things just weren't right in how I handle it, I had to take the next step, which was this right here. I had to own it, and then I had to fix it with God's wisdom and help. I had to own it and fix it with God's wisdom and help. Proverbs 3:5-8 say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. I had to own it and fix it with God's help. And one scripture that I skipped that's in your notes is that other scripture here in Matthew 5, 23 and 24 that says this. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you. I'm in church right now listening to Brandon and I'm remembering, oh snap, somebody's not pleased with me. Bible says, leave your sacrifice at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. That is a characteristic of the kingdom of God, that when we recognize that we have wronged someone, that someone has been negatively impacted by something, no matter how good our intentions may be, it is our responsibility to go fix it. We are to initiate. I don't have to wait for that person to raise it. I said, as a follower of Jesus, God has enabled me. He's enabled you with the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says is our teacher and will convict us and show us and lead us and will counsel us. So in that moment where God reveals that's something you did was not right, you need to go fix it. Brandon, what you have done with your son, as you are hearing this diagnosis, the next opportunity, you need to go fix it. You need to go apologize to him. And so I owned it. And then I said, God, please help me. And in the process of him helping me, he's given me professional help. My wife, she has a child development background as well, child behavior development background, because as a teacher, just a number of resources and friends. And I'm also going through scripture just to make sure that, as I shared with you all last week, just this whole Romans chapter 12, this whole aspect of renewing my mind, changing the way that I think about the situation, education, prayer, scripture, all those right things in order for me to make sure that I properly repair this relationship that is so important to me. It's no different than relationships that I may have at work that are significant for us accomplishing the mission that we have at work, no different than the relationships I may have in the community with people that I see within my, I remember yesterday just, you know, with it being a beautiful day outside. Not sure if y'all got a chance to get outside, but it was beautiful. But I spent most of my day cutting the grass. But it was great because I saw my other neighbors doing the same thing. And it was just refreshing for us to wave at each other and say, hey, how you doing? Because typically we're just seeing each other in passing. It was good times. But it's just beautiful. No matter where we are, relationships that matter, we got to make sure that we take the initiative. As a follower of Jesus, it's a characteristic of us to initiate and go repair those relationships for those that we have offended or negatively impacted. But here's the thing, though. Sometimes, you know, once we, in our humanity, or even in my humanity, sometimes I feel like, okay, well, I acknowledge it, I see it, okay, and kind of needs to be done with, right? We talked about it, it should be over. That's not true. The reality of the matter is that redemption is a process. And it takes time. And I'm not talking about the little soft stuff. I'm talking about stuff that really someone has hurt someone to their core. The lack of seeing someone for who they truly are. The lack of understanding where their perspective is. And you may just, no matter what, and whether you amended, intended, whether the intention was not, or was to hurt their feelings or not, the reality is the impact sits so deeply with that individual that it hurts. And as a follower of Jesus, it's important, again, so important, to take in the initiative to repair that. And while sitting there, I can't just say, okay, I've acknowledged it and it's over. Like sometimes, like I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like our culture is try to get over it quickly, get over it quickly. But it's not that easy. So I think the best example we can look at is Jesus when we talk about process. So we're going to read a scripture here in Hebrews. And just to give a little context before we go in there, in the Old Testament times, under the Mosaic Law, God directs people to create sacrifice, to actually kill animals and prepare a sacrifice. It's a process. God is very specific about how he wants to see these sacrifices prepared and killed. So let's read Hebrews 9 and 13. Under the old system, that's the one I just mentioned, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sin, from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins that had committed under the, that they had committed under the first covenant. You know, we celebrate Easter, we do Christmas, and that's cool, beautiful thing. But sometimes we take that one. There's a possibility we could miss it if we just focus just on that one event. Remember, Jesus came into this world knowing that he was going to die. He knew what he was supposed to do, what his mission was. And he knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. He lived. He walked this earth. As a matter of fact, we read early on in the book of Matthew where Jesus at age 12, I believe, is in the temple with the teachers and stuff. And he's having conversations and Mary and Joseph are looking for him. And they're like, hey, homie, where you been? Well, that's my interpretation. And he's like, I'm about my father's business. I'm here. So Jesus knew what the mission was, why he was sent here on earth. And then we fast forward, even before he even goes through the trial and everything else and gets beaten to a pulp. Flesh pierced and scraped and all this stuff. He's in the garden of Gethsemane with the disciples, well, with the three, the inner circle, praying. His sweat turns to blood. And he even says, in his own and out of the humanity, 100% God, 100% human, says, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Process, redemption, the whole point of he has the weight of the world literally on his shoulders. He's the one person responsible for redeeming humanity's relationship with God. And if he fails, we're done. Process. It cost him something. It cost him something. And when it comes to repairing relationship, it costs us something. We got to humble ourselves. No matter how entitled we may feel, no matter how prideful we may be, no matter how embarrassed we may be, or even how fearful we may be, it costs us something. In the example of my son, I'm the parent. You don't eat unless I pay for it. You don't have clothes unless I buy it for you. You can't go anywhere without my approval. But I hurt him. I wounded him deeply. And you can see, I remember seeing these moments where when I was, after the diagnosis, I can just see captures in my mind and moments where I'm thinking I'm being the good disciplinarian as a father. Son, let me come correct you. You need to get this right. We need to do it this way. And in the reality, he doesn't even feel seen or heard by his dad or understood in the moment because he didn't have bad intentions. He's being a kid. He's being who he is. And so me as the adult, I should be able to see that, right? No. So what I would say is, My fourth point here, which is we should not allow pride, fear, discomfort, or embarrassment to stop us from repairing relationships. We should not allow those things to get in the way. Because at the end of the day, it's the impact of what we did that matters in repairing that peace. In 2 Chronicles, we're going to read here, God is talking to Solomon. And so just to give a little backstory, so Solomon is the son of David, King David. Solomon is the son of King David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba is the wife that David wrongfully took from another man. Yeah, let that sink in. David wrongfully took Bathsheba from another man. And then they had a baby. That baby died. They had another baby. God blessed it with Solomon. And so God had told David, Solomon's going to be your successor in the kingdom. So David was doing all this planning to rebuild God's temple, the temple. And so God had made it clear, David, your job is to design it. Solomon, you're going to build it. So by the time, so before we get to chapter 7 here, the temple's finally built, and they're all basically doing the dedication, and they're celebrating the temple. This is what God says to Solomon. God says in verse 13, "At times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you." This is God. God's like, at times I may allow a pandemic to come to shut down, because there's no promise that we're supposed to be living a life that's so easy as a follower of Jesus. He never promised that to us. But he says, at times I might shut up the heavens so that no rain falls, or command grasshoppers to devour your crops, or send plagues among you. But check this out. "Then, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to every prayer made in this place, for I have chosen this temple and set it apart to be holy, a place where my name will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart." The temple. In the Old Testament, it was a physical building. But Jesus teaches us with the new covenant under him that we are the temple. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he dwells within us. So think about that. Wherever we go, God said he will dwell with us if we just humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from his wicked, turn from our wicked ways. He will hear from heaven, forgive the sins, and restore the land. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." Family, it's a must. It is a must for us to repair where we have wronged someone. It is so important for us to take initiative and repair it. And it can be scary, right? In our humanity, it can be a little crazy, because we don't want a reputation to start to build, or we don't want to be vulnerable. I understand that. I can relate with that. But it's so necessary. And just know that God will meet you right there as you take the step of faith. As we take step of faith to make things right out of honor for him, as a follower of him, he will meet us right there and help us along the way. So why is this important? You know, one of the things we say at work when we're looking at PowerPoint presentations and things, we say, man, so what? And like, we get it. I mean, you know, you did a lot of stuff, but Brandon, land a plane, really. What's the whole point? Why are we listening to you today? Why is this so important to really be talking about this? Because again, it's not about us. Facing our failures sets us up to become people that God can use. When we face our failures, it sets us up to become people that God can use because of our story. We can share, because that message can be something that encourages others. It can also be a light in dark places. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." There's so much more for us to do, because if God just wanted us to get saved, we would give our lives to Jesus and then we'd be gone. But there's a work for us to do. Everyone's called to something uniquely. And in that unique calling you have, there's a collective piece to that too, because there are other brothers and sisters in Christ with you to be there, to support, to accomplish the same mission. But as people who are called to be Christians, if we can't be honest and humble enough to admit when someone has communicated that we've wronged them, or God reveals to us that we've wronged them, we're not being a proper reflection of him. And as I like to say, God gets the black eye. It ain't got nothing to do with any one of us. But now I'm misrepresenting him. No one's perfect. And I think this goes back to even the beauty of, we talked about the heart attitudes. Another one is talk about being authentic. Be who you are. Absolutely. be honest with where you're living a life that's honest about where we're growing and where we're learning. Some people, we don't all grow at the same rate and same stages and things, but one piece that we do need to make sure we're doing is growing each day, making it a point to grow closer to God. Because like I said, like he says here in Matthew 5, 13 through 16, you are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that you can get the glory, so that I can get the glory? No. So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. It all points back to him. And if we don't properly display the character of God, he takes the black eye. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for your word and just the importance for us to build together. Father, I pray that you would continue to do as your word declares, that it will not return unto you void, but it will accomplish that for which you sent it out to do. Thank you so much for the purpose of your word to encourage us to continue to grow and repair where we need, in areas that are broken, in relationships that are broken. And Father, I pray that every step of the way, just may you, in your own way, help us all to see that you are with us and assure us of your presence and your direction. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.